Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Well, let me turn to my guests who are here with me this morning in the studio to talk about the Four Corners Film Festival. Tia Camacho is here from Film Four Corners. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. It's good to see you. Devin Neely also here, the chairman of the board of Film Four Corners. Devin, welcome back to KSJE.
Thank you so much
wearing
for having
that
us.
Hat this morning. You're a busy guy.
Well, you know, idle hands, right?
Yes, that's right. Okay, very true. Anyway, good to have both of you here because this is a busy week for both of you because, as I mentioned, the film festival starts later on this week. It is a virtual event this year. And so talk to me a little bit about switching things up in this COVID world from being an in-person event with lots of people filling theaters to an online event and making it virtual.
Yeah, this has been a challenging year for us so far because in the second year of the Four Corners Film Festival, we've had to just throw the plans out the window and start from scratch, which, you know, isn't necessarily a bad thing, but for a fledgling event of this nature, we're really reinventing the wheel, and we're certainly not the only ones. There are other film festivals which are having to do the same thing, but under the direction of Tia as the executive director of Film Four Corners, we're full steam ahead, and we're really excited for a good virtual event this year, and we hope that it's going to bring the same high quality entertainment that we had last year with some really great workshops and panels for folks that want to learn more about the industry.
Very good. And Tia, let me turn to you a little bit about the kind of the same question, some of the challenges of putting this all together and putting it all online and getting all the films in and getting them online and making it available for folks to buy their passes, which are available right now, correct?
Yeah, it was a very interesting change because I'm an event planner and I'm not really computer literate per se, but this is.
I bet you are now, more than you were.
It has given me a great challenge, but also it was fun because then I got to learn a whole bunch of different avenues of being able to utilize the computer. And you
sure.
know, everybody, the Zoom thing has been a very common event now, and
we're all getting very good at Zoom.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
that's true.
It's been interesting.
Very true. And so the question would be, who should come to the film festival virtually? Who should sign up? Who should buy a pass? Because I know you kind of market it to a lot of different people with different likes and interests in the film industry, whether I'm a budding actor or a behind-the-scenes person from Salmon College maybe studying film, or people that just like film, like movies, and like to see visions on the big screen or the small screen.
All of those people.
Yeah.
All those people.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that's the beauty of a film festival is it's probably a lot of fun for as a filmmaker. I'm not a filmmaker, but I can imagine going and seeing your work on a big screen if it hasn't been screened before is thrilling. In that same vein, as someone I want to learn more about the film industry, we have lots of opportunities for that as well. There's workshops, there's acting workshops and screenwriting workshops and lots of things like that that Tia can go through. But if you just want to learn, absolutely. If you're just there for the entertainment value and seeing some films that you're not going to see in a movie theater, in a regular cinema, this is the way to go. You know, we have documentaries and we have feature films. And we have Made in New Mexico. There's a lot of different categories and really highlighting the different voices within the film industry. So we have films from veterans. We have films from women. We have films from Native American voices. And so all of these voices coming together in really just a really great show of all the talent. And these aren't just local filmmakers either. There are some local filmmakers involved, but we're seeing filmmakers from all over the country.
Right. And that's by design, isn't it, that you wanted to open it up to these specific groups in this particular festival? Because we know there are other festivals around the country, around the world, and they all have their own kind of invitations of who they want to submit films and what they want to highlight and things like that. Yours is unique to the Four Corners, or tries to be, right?
Absolutely. And this, you know, this isn't the Cannes Film Festival.
No.
You know, so we're trying to attract a different crowd and different folks than would submit to the Cannes Film Festival, and highlight those voices that may or may not be seen in other places. And that's what's one of the more exciting parts about the film festival. But then generally, you know, the mission of Film Four Corners is to really highlight the film industry and how accessible it is here in our area. We want to build the film industry in this area, not only through educating people and teaching them about how they could make a career out of working in film, but also to highlight to people from outside of this area how beautiful this area is, the natural beauty, crews that are ready to work, friendly places that you can shoot your film and really make it a quality production with, you know, just right here in Farmington.
Right. And Tia, I guess go back to you a little bit about kind of how that all works, because that's the idea of attracting maybe economic development to San Juan County and the Four Corners region. We've seen our state really taking the lead in trying to attract more film projects. And of course, pre-COVID, we had a lot of activity going on. There's still maybe a little bit happening in our state, and hopefully more as things open back up. But that is kind of the, as Devin was saying, the goal of the organization, is it not?
Yes, it is. That's exactly what we're really trying to work with students, and it doesn't matter if they're young or old. We want to attract everybody to be a part of this. So.
Right, and Devin, again, you've seen it too from the state. Some good incentives to bring folks in from out of town and to show them kind of the area that we have here. And I know if you're looking for a location, I mean, we've seen it certainly in Albuquerque.
Absolutely.
Has been all over the place in a lot of different series and movies. But we have a lot of film projects still ongoing, even if they're shut down at the moment. They're here to shoot.
There's pre-production work happening right now in our state. And I wouldn't be shocked if there was pre-production work happening in the county. A lot of times that's covered under,
little
you
secret.
Can't talk about it.
Exactly. Little confidential.
Exactly. Yes.
Little confidential. Understand. Even when the big names come in, which we've seen that as well, too, in the last 18 months or so, there's rumors, and, you know, we try not to lose our collective stuff when we see someone famous at a
restaurant
or something, right? But we're doing better with that, hopefully.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So the film, the state has really set us up in the state of New Mexico as a great film location.
And us being San Juan County.
Well, the state to begin with,
okay.
San Juan County as well.
Gotcha.
So if you shoot a feature film in the state of New Mexico, you're eligible for a 25% tax credit on what you spend on that film. Then, if you are out of zone, which is about 60 miles away from Albuquerque, really, so not in Bernalillo County, not in Santa Fe County, and some of those little surrounding areas there, you're eligible for another 5%. So you're up to 30% eligible tax credit. And then if you shoot in a production studio that is outside, in one of those out of zone areas,
right,
then you are eligible for a total of 35% tax credit on pretty much everything you spend producing a film. So, or a television pilot.
Right.
And if the pilot then is shot in New Mexico, you're continually eligible for those tax credits. So the state has set us up. We need everybody else to know that. And that's what Film Four Corners is doing. If we can bring some folks that wouldn't necessarily look at Farmington, they're in a screening, they're in a panel, and they hear how friendly our area is to film, we're going to see a lot more action and work in our area. And what that translates into is jobs, direct spending. It's all economic development at the end of the day.
Right. Well, let's talk about the festival, because it gets started here in just a couple of days, right?
Yeah, the
16th.
That's
Wednesday.
Since I figured out it's the 14th today, that's 2 days away. So there you go. And so let's look at the website. We've got it called up here, and we can show folks a little bit about kind of what we're talking about. And these are some of the workshops, correct?
Right.
Of what we've got. So let's take a look at that just briefly, and kind of pick a couple and let us know a little bit more about these workshops that folks can figure out. I mean, obviously the titles we can glean from some of these, but what are some of the ones that really reach out to you?
Well, To begin with, the way that I set this up was kind of sequential. So at first you have the screenplays, and it runs all the way through distribution of film. One of the ones I really like to look at is the career pathways in the New Mexico film industry.
Someone figuring out what's in it for me, or how can I use my skills maybe in film. I don't know if they fit or not.
Well, and it goes through all the different areas, even gaffing and sound and video. So
all those names in the credits that we watch at the end of the film, right?
Yeah,
to see what they actually do.
Well, and what's fun about that is last year when I was on Jumanji as a PA, I got to see my name in on film, and I was like, hey, look.
There she is.
It was
right?
fun. It's fun. Actually, it's a lot of work. There's sometimes you're standing around for a little bit, but then they put you to work, and it's constant.
But look, the bottom line is, you know, not all the jobs in film are running a camera or acting.
Right.
There are so many jobs for electricians and carpenters and, you know, laborers, and there's heavy equipment operators, and there's so many things, and there's many of the people in our area, right here in Farmington in San Juan County, those people already have those skills.
Right.
And they just need somewhere to work. And so if the film industry is booming in the Four Corners, our friends and neighbors who already have a really great skill set are going to have a lot of job opportunities.
And it's important, I guess, too, to maybe have your name on that list or available when there's a crew coming into New Mexico to make a project. So they need them like yesterday sometimes, right? And
exactly.
So it's important that your skills and your name and contact information is available to the film office or others, I guess, to maybe get them in touch with you. Isn't that how it works?
Correct. Exactly. And sometimes there's base skills that you need a little bit of training in so that you're more available to the film industry. But once you get just those very base things taken care of, and you're on the list, hey, we need an electrician. Boom, here's a list. Here's all the people that we have, and you may be called at a moment's notice, or you may have a little bit of heads up, but once you're, and then the other part of that is once you've worked through a few different productions and production companies know they can rely on you and count on you, then you're in.
Right.
You know, and they're going to keep calling until you quit answering the phone.
It's a big industry, but it's a small industry, right? If you have a reputation, hopefully good or bad, I suppose, it could work either way.
Right.
It gets around.
Yep, absolutely. And we're really excited. You know, there's a lot of partners. The state, in one of my other capacities, the state is working to bring some training into this area.
Nice.
We're so excited to be working with the IOTSE, the... help me out here.
480 local union.
Yeah,
okay.
The union.
Nice.
One of the unions, and
right.
Yep.
And they're willing to do some training up here. We just need to have an interest, and this is the whole goal of Film Four Corners and the Four Corners Film Festival is create that interest and start that spark. Really.
Very cool. For our radio audience, let me just list a couple of these workshops that are going to be offered in the at the festival this year. What makes a screenplay great is the title of one. Growing the film industry in New Mexico is another. Breaking into film is one. How to work with a production team. Yes.
I'll point out that Breaking into Film has a picture of Stephen Michael Quezada.
Yes. He's no slouch.
Exactly. Lives in Albuquerque, and he'll be participating in the film festival this year with some
other
big names that you'll be able to see. These aren't just, you know, Joe Schmo sitting in their, you know, backyard telling you what they think about the film festival. These are industry players.
Right.
And Tia can talk a little bit more about some of those folks. But yeah,
okay.
If you keep going through some of those, you know, career pathways and getting your foot in the door as a media manager, post-production, film distribution, and then, of course, the award ceremony to cap off the event.
Right, to see kind of which film is taking home the awards.
Correct.
And so we'll talk about the films here too in just a second. So that's great. Tia, what are some of the other big names that we might recognize that are part of the festival this year?
Well, we have Poppin' John, which is our own homegrown.
Yes,
young man.
Right.
And basically, he's going to be talking about how he got into the industry as far as the entertainment industry.
Right.
And he goes, "Would you want me to just talk and then dance?" And I was like, "No, I just want you to tell your story." And he was so willing to do that. And that's really, he's a really nice young man. So.
Sure. Well, I think a lot of folks maybe are surprised when folks from a smaller community like Farmington or San Juan County achieve some national stature in the film industry or television or whatever the case may be, and then come back to maybe you know, share their story. So it's a great thing that they do to give back to the community.
It really is.
That's terrific. Very good. And so I want to show another clip from the website here about some of the films that are going to be at the film festival. We talked a bit about the categories, and so some of these explain quarantine movies. These are basically what it sounds like?
Exactly what it is.
Well, and movies made in quarantine is what I'm assuming.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, there
and
it
is. It's not necessarily about quarantine,
right,
even though there is one that is about quarantine, but what they were doing, and you'll see the social distancing in some of them.
Right,
as well.
But that you can do an actual film while following all the COVID-safe practices and things along that line. Music videos is another category of film this year. As we scroll through, again, the website, we're at Film Four Corners, a narrative short, women in film. Again, these are films that have been produced, directed by women. Veteran stories, again, this is another thing that Film Four Corners wanted to have in the film festival again this year, these veteran stories. And so, and again, so if you have a pass, if I buy a full pass, I have access to watch all of these, right?
Mm-hmm. All
that's
all,
what we're talking
all
about.
Of the workshops,
all the workshops, all the films,
all the films, yep, and the award ceremony.
Very good. Native American film, the documentary category again is going to be part of it. Faith-based films and narrative feature-length films as well, and made in New Mexico films. And then the workshops and panels that we've been talking about already. And so, and that leads me to our surprise guest, who is also with us this morning via Zoom. Speaking of Zoom, one of the documentary filmmakers who was part of this year's film festival, and he was also part of last year's film festival. But Tom Shalaki is joining us via Zoom this morning. And Tom, are you available? Good morning. There he is. Good to see you. Tom is here. He is the...
Yeah.
Producer and director of a documentary, Acid Mind Nation, and episode 2 now is part of this film festival this year, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Talk to me a little bit about, for folks who aren't familiar with the film, Tom, talk to me a little bit about what it is regarding. This goes back to the Gold King mine spill, correct?
Yes. So the long and short of it is we live below a volcano, and volcano spews out junky water, but the EPA in 2015 was messing with a mine and broke open an earthen plug and released 3 million gallons of acid mine drainage, and it made the river orange. If people remember pictures of the orange Animas River that hit the San Juan and went all the way up through Navajo Nation into Utah and over to Lake Powell.
Exactly. We do remember that. And so you have then turned that event into this documentary. And so there are at least 2 episodes. I know you're working at episode 3.
Yes. Episode 1 gave more of the history and the background on how we got to the mine spill. Episode 2 was how Colorado reacted, how Silverton reacted at first, and how Durango reacted at first. Episode 3 is how New Mexico reacted. And I have to touch on, you can't talk about New Mexico without talking about Navajo Nation. So episode 3 is New Mexico with introduction of how Navajo Nation responded. And then a little bit about how the San Juan River went up to Lake Powell and what the concerns were for Lake Powell.
Sure.
And episode 4 is going to focus on the Navajo Nation. And then episode 5 is going to talk about the Superfund project up there that is federal intervention for mine cleanup.
Got it. All right. Well, and it's a very complicated issue, I know, which is why you are kind of digging into that one episode at a time and one state at a time and things like that, Tom. And let me ask you a bit about these film festivals, because we're talking about that this morning. And so, you know, getting your film into a film festival, I mean, you send this documentary out to festivals around the country, right? And so I know when a film gets accepted into one of these festivals, it's kind of a big deal for a filmmaker like yourself who's working to try to get knowledge about it and market it and get the word out about the work that you've put into this film and this documentary, correct?
Yes. That film festivals for me are a part of it. They're, you know, they are an audience, yes. For episode 1, though, I preferred to show it in free open public screenings. So I showed episode one in Ridgeway, Silverton twice, Durango, Farmington, Shiprock, and Montezuma Creek in Utah. An audience of 5, 25, 65 people. Those are the people in the room that are interested in the topic and can ask questions, and I'm really happy to talk with them. Film festivals are similar in that you get a room full of people, and education is my goal. So everybody who walks out of one of my screenings has learned something. They walked in not knowing everything about it, and they left learning a little bit more about it and have more questions. Film festivals now, you go to filmfreeway.com, you set up a profile, you look for festivals and can submit. Right now, I've been accepted to a different kind of festival. It's Nature Without Borders. And since this mind spill covered 3 states and 3 Native American tribes, it's certainly a nature story without borders. December 6th is when they're going to do a virtual screening with distributors. And so...
Very cool. Very exciting, right?
Yes. COVID and shutdown of theaters really opens up other avenues. And so very happy that Four Corners Film Festival this year is virtual. I am in a small cabin in a small lake in the middle of New York State. You know, I can't get to Farmington, on Wednesday, but certainly people can log in and see my video. So I'm very happy and grateful for Farmington or Four Corners Film Festival to do a virtual session this year.
Very cool. Well, and again, you're with us this morning virtually as well, so to speak, via Zoom. Yeah. So it's great to see you there. And of course, this shutdown hasn't stopped you at all because you're busy editing episode 3.
I'm actually getting more work done.
Are you? Good for you. Very good. Well, Tom, thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate it very much. And we're going to talk again about the documentary on a separate program. So we'll be calling you again.
You're welcome. And thank you, Devin and Tia. I appreciate all the hard work you guys are doing.
Very good. Well, thank you very much, Tom Shalaki from upstate New York, a place I know well. So we appreciate you joining us, and enjoy the nice cool air there in the mountains of upstate New York. Okay. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Scott. Have a great day.
You bet. Thank you. And one of the filmmakers, and again, my guests here in the studio, Devin Neely and Tia Camacho from Film Four Corners. You couldn't do a film festival without filmmakers.
Correct. Yeah, there's a lot of people that we can thank, and the filmmakers that are interested in showcasing their work in the Four Corners Film Festival are the first and foremost of that we can thank. Secondly, we can also thank the folks that are interested in seeing these workshops and seeing these movies. But personally, and from the board of directors of Film Four Corners, we want to thank Tia Camacho and Karen
Bateman,
thank you. They're both working very hard behind the scenes to make this happen. Film Four Corners is a nonprofit organization, and we depend on our donors. So we want to thank the Marion Foundation and San Juan County for being the major funders of the 2020 Four Corners Film Festival. And we appreciate the support of the community in general, who make it possible and welcome Film Four Corners and the Four Corners Film Festival into the area.
Terrific. Well, and so let's talk nitty-gritty about how people can get involved and get their passes. And again, the full pass is available, but they can also kind of pick and choose other levels as well, correct?
There's just one ticket this year. It's
just one?
Yep. $45, okay. And you get to watch everything. It's
a season pass. Yep, it's the full pass.
Yep, it's all access.
Okay.
All inclusive.
And it's for $45.
Yes.
And so that's amazing to me, because as we saw, all those workshops, all those films,
yes,
all that's available for $45. And some of them will be available beyond the festival dates or not. Talk to me a little bit about on demand, or some of them are live stream and some of them may be on demand.
It'll all go through the film festival dates.
Okay.
But after that, that's it.
That's it.
Yep.
So you gotta be watching.
You got to watch.
Okay, and paying attention to what's going on. That's true. And so, but some of them are live stream events at a specific time,
right.
And some you might be able to catch later. Is that
right.
kind of how it works too?
Yeah, they'll be recorded, and then okay. that way, if you're not there at 10 o'clock that morning, you can still watch it within the 3 days.
Okay. Good to know. And so, again, I know you guys are all over Facebook, so there's a way to get through the website from Facebook. We can just go to the website directly to Film Four Corners and get this all-access pass.
Exactly.
For $45. That's how it works. So
yes.
There you go.
FilmFourCorners.com.
There it is.
.org. What is it?
.com.
Yeah, I was right the first time. Wow.
That's okay.
Happy Monday.
There's a lot of stuff going on for both of you. So that's why I appreciate you both being here to free up some of your morning, Monday, to come in and talk to me about this, because it's a great thing. I know a lot of folks in Farmington are excited about the potential for the film industry. And we say film, but we mean TV and I mean really any video industry. But to come here and again, bring these projects to Farmington, we saw what films like Jumanji can do for just a couple of weeks when
right.
they were here.
Right.
I mean, big impact.
Very big.
For just that short amount of time.
Exactly.
And to get something maybe that could be maybe a weekly television show or some commercial shoots or other things like that, I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about.
That's exactly where, that's the end result that we're looking for.
Right. And that's what we can maybe hope for and what you guys are working towards is
exactly.
as well. So very exciting. And again, the help from the state is great and other incentives as well. I know the county is all in with some of its projects, the Totaw Theater being one of them. And so that's very exciting news too. And I know we're going to hear more about that down the road.
Yeah. Well, there has been direction and work by the San Juan County Commission to make the county a film-friendly county, and that includes requesting and receiving money from the state for some production space. With that, we've bought the Totaw Theater for refurb and rehab. And
this is San Juan County. Now you're wearing your county hat, not your Film Four Corners hat. I just want to make sure our audience is clear.
Thank you.
The nonprofit is not buying theaters.
I mix my wheeze up way.
That's okay. That's all right. But very exciting.
Yes, the county is also working on some other projects to have some production space available.
Right. We've heard maybe news about a back lot or some things like that that could be again very attractive to filmmakers looking to maybe get out of the Southern California area or whatever, and I'm sure they're looking at it. So that's great.
If there's anything left when the fires are done.
No kidding. Yeah. Very true. Well, thank you both for coming in to talk about the film festival this year. Again, it gets underway on the 16th. That's 2 days from now. And the big awards ceremony is on Saturday.
That's correct.
So there
Actually,
you go.
Friday. Friday.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
Oh, how'd I...
Yeah.
See, my dates are all messed up
that's
this week,
okay.
but that's all right. I will be there virtually, so it's good to know. I don't have to get in the car and go anywhere, so that's the perfect part. Thanks for being here, both of you. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
You're very welcome. My guests from Film Four Corners talking about the second annual Four Corners Film Festival happening this week virtually with me on KSJE. Back with more in just a moment, everybody. The time right now is 8:41. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.